Our scripture reading is taken from 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
Morning. Happy Sabbath. Good to see everybody here today on this beautiful winter morning Sabbath. We know that it's said that there's nothing else to talk about. We can always talk about the weather. But what if we would say that about the Bible, the Holy Scriptures, that we would talk about this each time? As we see the weather as it is this winter so far here, and it's supposed to be another week like this, but then is that the lull before the storm? Can we look at this as a little time of peace before the beast through the dragon will raise its ugly head and come after God's people? I don't know. It's the same. How did your demeanor change when you came into the sanctuary this morning? How did your thoughts change when you came into the sanctuary this morning? Coming into the presence of a holy God. Do we really realize that His presence is here? Do we realize that there's legions of angels around this church building right now as we worship God? I pray that we do. We know that we've come to worship and respect the holy God this morning, that we are in His presence, and that we have the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures, to know who God is and what He is like, and that through His promises we might have eternal life. And besides the greatest gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the next greatest gift from our God, is life, life eternal with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this morning we're going to talk about the inspiration of the Scriptures. Mentioned it a little bit of it this morning in class. Ginger already did that. He had a couple words that I'm going to talk about today. And we just know that there is value in that. But let's have a word of prayer first. Our gracious God, we thank Thee that through the inspired scriptures that we may know the one true God in His Son, Jesus Christ. And that one day soon that He will come for His people to collect them. And we pray that we will be found wanting, that we will be able to praise and honor Thy holy name this Sabbath day and throughout eternity. And Father, as we talk about the Holy Scriptures this morning, we ask for the guidance of the Holy Spirit to be with each one of us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Yes, the value and the inspiration of the Scriptures. And I already started with our Scripture reading. If we would turn to that again, 2 Timothy Chapter 3, in verses 15 through 17. 2 Timothy 3, 15 through 17. And from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished in all good works. And as we read these words here, we know that in the time Jesus, in the old times there of the Jesus and the Jews, even before that, they did have the scriptures of the Old Testament, and that they were led away from the simple truths of the Bible. They failed to see Jesus as He is. See that it was necessary for the Church of Christ and for the people everywhere, especially today, to heed the words in the Scriptures and to hear and see their values and see that inspiration of the Word from God Himself. We know that today the Bible is not prized as it should be, even though it's the most printed book, the most sold book yet still. But we know that the professed followers of Christ are leaning away from it very much. The value is not correctly estimated. As truths are not highly regarded as they should be in the relationship to each one of us as individuals and to the church is not clearly thought out. We just need to understand what God is telling us in these holy scriptures. We read that Christ was not only a stumbling block to the Jews and to Israel at his first advent, but they would be a stumbling block throughout history. And it was before both houses of Israel. We talked about that in Isaiah chapter 8. But then the Israel of today, Galatians 6:16, which is the church of Christ, needs to know where the church is steering, what their bearings are, and where she is anchored. Is it the word of the living God, or is it the traditions of men that are being followed? Many people still do not know what the Bible is. And when Jesus came to this earth, he said to the Jews, "Ye know not the scriptures, neither power of God." Mark 12:24. But it's not indicated that they were ignorant of the Bible. It did not mean that they did not read the Bible or that they were not familiar with its teachings. And really, at this time, we're talking more about the rabbis and the teachers and the leaders because the normal people did not have Bibles at that time, did not have the Word of God in their possessions. But these people were thoroughly acquainted with the wording of the Scriptures. You can read that in Romans chapter 2. But they did have a difficulty in understanding the light of the interpretation that was in these words, in that construction that was placed upon the teachers, because it all came from the teachers and rabbis. When the priests and rabbis were asked by Herod where Jesus was going to be born, they were able to turn quickly to the scripture and was able to say, "In Bethlehem of Judea," Matthew 2:5, but that was only because the prophet said so. And at that very time that they were reading this scripture, that very Messiah was lying in a manger close to them, but they weren't able to appreciate the words that they had just read, that he was the one to whom this prophecy was being fulfilled. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. They didn't rightly divide the word of truth, and that's why they did not know it. It was taken for granted that the scriptures could not pertain to him because they were led by the teaching of men. And even today, many of us are led by the teachings of men and men alone. We listen to them over everything else. But we know that there's a parallel to what these professed people knew, that they didn't know the power of the Holy Spirit. They didn't know the power of the Word of God. And it's the same with us today. They have their Bibles, can read them, know what the Word says, and much of the teachings of what are in the Scriptures. But do they apply it to their lives? We probably don't know that they do. We need to be awakened to the opportunities that the Word of God gives us as children of the living God. We need to personally read the Bible. We need to know what it teaches so that we can go out and do the same thing that God has asked us to do as he asked the people, as Israel old, to give the gospel message to the world, to give that blessedness. And what is the Bible? There's hundreds of current opinions of what the Bible is and what it says, but we know that scarcely two can agree. And it's held by some educators and theologians, and here we are again talking about men. It is a good book, but not much better than any other book. It is said that it is inspired, but so are the books of men. It's claimed by others that there are many errors, but there's errors in all the other books. It's also claimed that the Bible must be judged by the science of the day. as modern science is a test of all truth. But we know that that is not true today. We know that the Bible is not maintained by science. And it cannot stand a test that scientific phenomena gives to us today. So we're back to what is the Bible? Do we have definite knowledge of what it is? Can we be positive of what it is with absolute certainty what the Bible is and what it is for? And we do have certain positive proof what the Bible is and what the author of the Bible says and tells us. Do we that? We have direct answers and distinct answers. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 13 gives us that. It is the word of the living God. And also in Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12, if you would turn to there. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper as a two-edged sword. And then you can read the rest. We're told that we're not to try and prove the scriptures is inspired or prove that its inspiration is logic or by science. The Lord is able to do that himself. And he does that through the blessed Spirit. That the word which proceed from the mouth of God shall not return unto him void. And it is for us to know the value and the inspiration of scriptures as the word of God. To appreciate the word of the Lord so that it will be sweet as honey and as the honeycomb. Psalms 19. So that we will want to eat the word of the living God. Jeremiah 15, 16. And that we can find the words will be our soul to our souls like the heavenly manna in Joshua chapter 6. It is the scripture of truth that a solution can be found of the value of the Bible and the word of God. And all we need to do is read it and get down on our knees and ask God for explanation given to us through the Holy Spirit. We know that the very foundation of the truth in the Bible, you know, the gospel of Christianity is based on Moses and the prophets. Man tries to dissect and credit the sacred word to man himself and to something else, but with Christ they are used to prove and demonstrate his majesty and his glory. Christ does that with his word. Everything seems to conspire against the precious sacred word about these volumes. But the foundation of God standeth forever. 2 Timothy 2:19. What is inspiration? We can read that, the answer to that in 2 Peter chapter 1. If you would turn to there, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. 20 and 21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And here the Bible defines inspiration as a moving of the Holy Spirit upon the hearts of men, upon you and I. And the Holy Spirit doing the breathing and the speaking while having these men under its control. And as the Holy Spirit did have these men of old under control, we pray that he has us under his control today and that we'll listen to him. What is inspiration? The inspiration of the Word of God is simply God talking to and through men. If we would only learn and reason what it means to listen to God speaking to us. The Apostle Paul makes a statement for the definition of inspiration. That was our scripture reading, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. We are told by this inspired man that God, all scripture, is given by the breath of God. Every part inspired. Every written by men who God selected. But that does not imply that whatever is found in the scriptures was directly spoken to the people by the Lord through his servants. For instance, the lie of Satan to Eve. The serpent speaking to Eve. But God told Moses what the statement was, and Moses wrote it down. And as with all other things, God told the men to write things which may have been said, and the inspiration of God told the writers what to write and what to omit. As proof that the book of the Old Testament, books of the Old Testament are really inspired word of God, that were written by men inspired by the Holy Spirit. And these men were the authors. To make positive assurance of that, we have to take many of this and trust, though, that it was done. Because many of these, they can't really exactly verify that these men wrote them. But we can certain ones tell us that they were inspired and that they were written by these men. Christ, the author of truth, in John 14:6. Moses and the prophets, the apostles, the chosen men of God, all of these wrote these words. But with all these facts, we can see that with these men, these inspired words were breathed into them, into their lives, and they wrote them down. And we also can inhale them into our lives today. These words can be inhaled by each one of us. To receive them absolutely as they are. The inspired word of the living God. As I said, the apostles, the prophets, wrote these things. And they believed that the scriptures were inspired. And especially the book of Genesis. Matthew believed on it. The very first sentence in his book refers to Abraham, whose life is recorded in Genesis. Mark believed in it. He refers to that book as the sayings of Jesus, his writings. Luke believed in it. He quotes from it and also mentions a number of places where Jesus spoke of it. John accepted it as the inspired word of God. Paul believed it, and he took many sermons from the book of Genesis, and with the power of God, used for his sermons this first book. So we know that we can truly believe that these words are the inspired words of God. So we're going to look at the first five books of Moses, first five books of the Bible, and starting with the book of Genesis. This book is probably the least regarded as really being inspired as any other book in the Bible. It's said that one person wrote the first chapter and another wrote the second chapter. And also another one wrote the third and probably the fourth chapter and the third chapter. In the words beyond there, that different authors wrote the rest of the book of Genesis. But we can take it for granted, for surety, that Moses wrote these books. So what does Christ say concerning Genesis? We can look that up in John chapter 5. Go to there. John chapter 5. For Christ's testimony of the inspired words of Genesis. John chapter 5, verses 45 through 47. Do not think that I accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? And the word Savior said that this was the basis of the faith in him. The anointed one of Christ and of God. That these were the writings of Moses. And we can take it for a surety. If we don't believe what Moses wrote, how can we believe the words of Christ? If one doesn't know that Moses wrote, how can we be prepared to believe what Jesus taught? Their faith in Moses was governed by their traditions instead of their personal faith and knowledge of the living God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And the church today desires to grow in faith and in the grace of Jesus Christ. She has to determine that Moses wrote these words. He wrote about the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ believed in the book of Genesis, and he also quoted from second chapter to prove the marriage relationship. We see that in Matthew chapter 19, and we compare that with Genesis chapter 2. But he also quoted from the sixth chapter to show the wickedness of the last days. If you would turn to Luke 17:26. Luke 17:26. And as it was in the day of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. We compare Genesis 19 with that. And we get to the part that Ginger mentioned this morning. The quickest and most effective way to destroy a house or a building is to loosen the foundation of that building. And so it is with the work of God. To tear it down, we have to start chewing at the foundation. For we know that the Bible and earth itself, the creation, was built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And Christ is the chief cornerstone. Ephesians 2:20. But the subsoil to that is the book of Genesis. So we need to believe that Moses wrote the book of Genesis. And then we look at the book of Exodus, the second book, the inspired word of God. And we can be assured that Moses wrote this also. And we can go to Mark chapter 12, verse 26 for this. Mark 12, verse 26. Mark 12:26. And as ye touching the dead that they rise, have ye not read in the book of Moses how in the bush God spake unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. We can compare that with Exodus 3:6. We know that Moses plainly teaches that he wrote this book, and the master shows that. The book was written by Moses, was inspired by the Holy Ghost, as all the other books. And then the book of Leviticus. This is probably one of the best and most blessed of all the living oracles. Psalms 40 verse 7 tells that. In Hebrews 10:7. We know that the book of Hebrews probably could never have been written if it hadn't been for the book of Leviticus. The whole plan of God's atonement through the Lord Jesus Christ for the world was vividly portrayed in these chapters. And this book was written by Moses, and is evident that it must have been written before his death. Book had to be written before the people entered Canaan. And we give him one testimony that concern and consider as prime authority when it was written and by Moses. And Christ's testimony, Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Verses 1 through 4. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. We can compare that with Leviticus chapter 14. Here the Messiah himself, the messenger of God, tells us that the command concerning leprosy was given by Moses. That is a surety. And then the book of Numbers. I hope I get this right. Numbers in the Hebrew is B-Midbar Wild Wilderness. Moses, being the leader of the children of Israel all through the wilderness, is well qualified to write these words in this book. These are the dealings of God with his people. John, Christ's testimony is John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Verses 14 and 15. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The account of this, about the serpent being lifted up, was done because of the murmurings of the people. And then this lesson illustrates the work of Jesus, the healer, the Messiah. So we know that these first four books were written by Moses. And then we look at the book of Deuteronomy. The fifth book means repetition. And this book repeats the history of the dealings of God with the people of Israel, from the Red Sea crossing until the time that Moses was called by God to lay down his life. God spoke the contents and Moses wrote them down. And again, the Savior himself recognizing Moses as the author of the book of Deuteronomy. And we can read Christ's testimony in Matthew 19. Matthew 19, verses 7 and 8. 19, 7 and 8. They say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? It is saith of them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. Compare that with Deuteronomy 24:1. And also can read about it in Matthew 22, verses 23 and 24. It's clearly shown that these five books of Moses was written and inspired by God. Every book is necessary. Every book has a mission. Every book had salvation. Every book was directed by the Holy Spirit. And every book taught Christ. Each book is to be compared with the New Testament, with those teachings in there that were also inspired. Moses, through inspiration, gave to the world the story of creation, the six literal days of creation. And the writers of the New Testament frequently mention the book of Joshua, to demonstrate the truthfulness of the work of justification through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the great Joshua which is Jesus Christ himself, will give rest from all of our enemies that are around about each one of us, just as he was able to do for the people of Israel of old. All books of the Old Testament were written by the inspiration of God. We know that the Savior quotes from these books, and the apostles quote from them. The New Testament is God's key. And with the power of the Holy Spirit, will unlock all the treasures of the Old Testament. The one great admonition of God through Jesus Christ and through his prophets and through the inspired words and through the inspired apostles have been for man to believe the word of the living God, to search the scripture, to know what the prophets and Moses have written, and to preach, believe, and teach the word of the living God. Psalms 119, verse 105, very familiar to all of us. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Yes, knowing it through the inspired word that your promises are true, that thou art trustworthy. Thank you for the assurance that we will see Jesus soon. Thank you that we may have eternal life through Jesus and Jesus alone. So as we continue to read thy inspired word, Father, we pray that we will take this knowledge, that through the comfort of the Holy Spirit, be able to know what it says, and that we will react rightly to everything that is told to us, so that we may be children of the living God for eternity, and may we be truly your representatives now here upon this earth. In Jesus' precious name, amen.